Good morning, church. So before we start our series on our biblical core values, I believe it is important for us to understand why commitment to the local church matters. Okay, and so I have entitled today's sermon, The Value of Commitment to the Local Church. But before that, let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good things that you are doing here in our church in IT Park. We thank you for the privilege that you have given us, O God, to be a salt and light, Lord, in this part of our city. We know there are many, many people, O God, living and working here, and you have placed us here strategically to be able to make disciples, O God. And so as a church, Lord, I pray that you would give us a sense of unity, O Lord God, that you would make us all realize that we are a church on a mission, that we would be all on the same page, O God, that we would fulfill our calling as disciple makers here in our city. And so, Father, I pray that through your word, you would show us why commitment to a local church matters. I pray that everyone, Lord God, who will be listening to your word would respond in obedience and make this commitment, this resolve, O God, to be a committed member of a local church. Lord, we commit this time of study into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm sure we will all agree that the pandemic has changed or affected church life in many ways. Some have observed that commitment to the church seems to be at an all-time low. Now, this is a tragic shift, and figures seem to be showing the exact same trend. In recent studies, they discovered that one of the factors that has contributed to this is the option of watching worship services online. Now, I would not deny the fact that technology can be helpful in ministry, especially during a pandemic. I mean, you never know whom God will touch with his word when you post it online. In fact, that is one of the reasons why we have retained our live stream, because it allows us to reach the unchurched. Through it, we are able to connect with the disconnected outside our church community. Some people who attend our church in person have watched our live stream before walking through our door. So it somehow gave them the opportunity to know our church. And when they finally came to our church, they felt a deeper connection because of their time spent connecting online. However, just as helpful as it is during a pandemic, we should be slow to settle for it, especially when it comes to church. Now, if you belong to a church community, if you are part of our church here, our church family in Living Word IT Park, let me remind you that our live stream should not be seen as a replacement to our in-person worship services. And so if you are a believer, you're not sick, you're well and healthy, there should be no reason for you to miss the gathering of God's people on the Lord's Day. Amen? I like what Matt Smethurst said. He wisely said, technology in the life of the church is often a gift. God just never intended it to be a replacement. Unfortunately, it has become a replacement for some Christians. They say, why go to church when I can download great preaching? Why go to church when, you know, John Piper or Paul Washer can be my pastor every Sunday? Okay? I can sing along to the best recorded Christian tracks and never have to go to an in-person worship service. And they ask, do I really have to join an in-person worship service to be a committed Christian? Now, I'm not sure that is the proper question. I think a better question might be, what is my attitude toward the local church? And what does that say about my commitment to Christ? You need to realize, church, that ultimately, what we are talking about here, commitment to the local church, is primarily about our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the church is described as the bride of Christ. And we know Jesus Christ loves his bride. In fact, he laid down his life for his bride, the church. And so who are we to say that commitment to a local church should not be a priority in the Christian life? So that question is perhaps a better diagnostic question, since it penetrates to the heart and lays bare our thoughts and attitudes toward the bride for whom Christ died. And so today, I would like us to focus on the value of commitment to the local church. And I'm going to give you 5 reasons why commitment to the local church matters. Now, before I give these 5 reasons, let me provide a biblical definition of a local church. John Piper said, "A local church is a group of baptized believers who meet regularly to worship God through Jesus Christ, to be exhorted from the Word of God, and to celebrate the Lord's Supper under the guidance of duly appointed leaders." Jonathan Lehman notes that a local church is a group of Christians, a regular gathering, a congregation-wide exercise of affirmation and oversight. The purpose of officially representing Christ and His rule on earth, they gather in His name. The use of preaching and ordinances for these purposes. So from these definitions, we can say that the church is not the building. The church is the people of God, redeemed by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if we claim to be God's children, then it follows that we are part of His family. We are part of the local church, the body of Christ. Unfortunately, many Christians do not see the need to be part of a local church. You may have heard many versions of this notion over the years. I love Jesus and I love the Bible, but I don't love the church. Or I can get my church on the internet. There are lots of great preachers out there. I just download sermons and I get fed plenty. Now, someone once said, relying on electronic media to feed your soul is like eating every meal in a restaurant by yourself and never having meals at home with your family. It's simply not healthy. It's been more than 2 years since we experienced the lockdown, right? That was March of 2020. And we had no choice as a church, together with other churches, but to close our worship services. And it was quite an adjustment for us. And I don't know about you, but in those months from March to November, when we did not meet as a church, it really affected me spiritually. I don't know about you. And then I realize how important it is to gather with God's people on a regular basis. We cannot survive in the Christian life without the local church, without our brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope your attitude during the lockdown was not an induta deneng online worship service, no? Because pwede ko maminaw ni Pastor TJ while, you know, washing the dishes, okay? You know, when you do online worship service, I guarantee you there are going to be many distractions. And it's going to be hard to focus on the preaching of God's Word. Moreover, I remain unconvinced that no one can claim to be a Christian and intentionally, let me highlight that word, intentionally remain outside the visible local church. Now, granted, the grounds of a sinner's salvation in Scripture are clear. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. True, the Bible never adds church membership as a condition of salvation. But you need to understand, and hear me out, what I am addressing here is the individual making these statements and is intentionally seeking to avoid church membership or church attendance while claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And yes, I realize there are many situations that keep true believers out of church for periods of time when they get sick or when they get injured in an accident. Those are not the people I have in mind here. My argument applies only to those who claim to be Christians and intentionally reject participation in any local church. So now let me give you the five reasons why commitment to the local church matters. Number one, God commands us to commit to the church. You see, the most basic reason to commit to the local church is that God explicitly calls us to do so in His Word. Here, the author of Hebrews, he says in chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The imperative or the command in Hebrews 10:25 is a key text. The phrase "meeting together" is the writer's assumption that God's people are to be regularly gathered in worship. And so it's very clear. God commands His people to regularly gather on the Lord's Day. This is not an option to consider when you feel like it. This is a command that needs to be obeyed. And to openly reject and repudiate such a command provides a critical window in the heart of a nominal Christian. Church, you need to understand that church membership and faithful involvement in a local church provide crucial evidence that one has experienced God's saving grace. One of the marks, one of the signs that a person has been saved by God's grace is that he or she develops a love for the local church. It's not the means to salvation, but it is a sign, it is a mark that you have already been saved. When you get saved, God, through the work of His Holy Spirit, creates this special love that you have for fellow believers. That special bond that we share in Christ. And so your attitude toward Christ's church functions like a spiritual X-ray machine exposing the true condition of your heart. So as what I said earlier, the church is described as the bride of Christ. Christ loves His bride, the church. So is it possible for a genuine Christian to reject or ignore the very thing Christ loves? Paul draws a parallel between Christ's sacrificial love for the church and marriage in Ephesians 5:25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ," what? "Loved the church." And how did He express His love for the church? Paul says, "And gave Himself up for her." So if Christ loved the church enough to lay down His life for her, how can we say then that gathering with other believers should not be a priority? And so on the evidence of Scripture, to claim to be a devoted Christian and yet disclaim Christ's church seems a little like saying, I want to drive a nice car, but I'd rather not have an engine. Or I love to eat, but I dislike food. Remember this. True community is established through faithfulness and commitment. You honor God when you commit to the people He has placed in your church family. Now, maybe some of you had a bad experience with a church or with some Christians who were part of a church. And because they caused you pain, you know, that bad experience is somehow preventing you from committing to a local church. Why? Because you don't want to be hurt again. But think about it, guys. When Jesus Christ saved us, we were all sinners, right? We were offending God. We were hurting God every single day. And yet, in His mercy and His grace and love for us, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to redeem us and save us. Yes, we come from different backgrounds, maybe even different cultures. But if you are in Christ, if you are a believer, we share something in common, and that is this truth. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Lamentations, His mercies are new every morning. And so as a people who has experienced the saving grace of God, the mercy of God, we are to extend God's grace to our fellow believers when they have sinned against us. So don't use that as an excuse. I'm not going to commit to the local church because of that negative or bad experience that I had. Remember this. It is a command that we find here in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And therefore, it is something that needs to be obeyed. Now, as we read it again, I want you to listen carefully so you will hear an implied question after the phrase, love and good works. The author says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And what does he say next? Not what? Not neglecting to meet together. So how do we stir up one another to godly living? Answer, not neglecting to meet together. But, there's a but here. What's the alternative to staying home? What does he say next? Encouraging one another. In other words, showing up to church is serving others. To gather is to encourage. And so if you are new to our church, I encourage you to be part of or to be committed to the ministry of attendance. And some of you might wonder, why call it the ministry of attendance and not just say the discipline of attendance? Because ministry is the right word for it. Look at the verse again. What are we expected to do when we gather together as God's people? We are expected to what? To encourage one another. And so when we gather as a church, we are to encourage one another. We are to minister to each other. Why are we called to do that? And this is vitally important. We encourage in order to mutually endure. Granted that God is the one who completes the work of salvation, you know, from start to finish. But remember this, God uses means to cause us to endure to the very end. And one of the means that God has given us as believers is the gift of the local church. If we are not encouraging one another, if we are not regularly meeting together in smaller groups, praying for one another, loving one another, we would not be able to endure. And so Scripture's expectation that believers physically gather is not arbitrary. It is designed for our spiritual survival. So the best way you can know and serve and love your church family, and the best way we can know and serve and love you is simply if you are present when we gather. Amen? Second reason, to love His people and serve others. Now when you consider the nature of the New Testament epistles, you will discover that most are written to congregations who have covenanted together to help each other follow Jesus. For example, we just finished our series on the book of Colossians. Every time Paul says, you He's not referring to an individual, but he is referring to the Colossian church. You there is plural in the original. So there is a corporate assumption beneath each command we hear. Sadly, individualistic consumerism has characterized the attitude of many Christians today. One pastor recounted, "At my previous church, there was a woman who would come every Sunday for the sermon, but as soon as the preacher said amen, she would be halfway out the door. This woman came for one reason and one reason alone, the preaching. She loved the preaching in that church." He said, "I eventually managed to intercept her mid-flight and ask which church she belongs to. And she answered, 'I go to this church for the word. I go to the other church for the worship.'" Understand, some people attend the Reformed Church for the preaching and then attend the Charismatic Church for the worship. And some attend their friend's church for their small group Bible study. Now, I'm not saying that we can't ever visit another church or that exceptional circumstances don't exist, but there are biblical reasons why all Christians should commit to a single local church. See, the woman who visited their church only for the preaching thought she was getting it all, the best of every world. And yet, ironically, she was missing out. Paul David Tripp said, "Christianity is not a consumer's faith. It is a participant's faith. It is not a faith for spiritual shoppers, but for thankful worshipers." You know, by failing to commit to a single local church, she actually deprived herself of opportunities to serve and be served. A family with whom she could grow in Christ-likeness and be surrounded by godly leaders who would lovingly care for her soul. And so if you are visiting our church and you are part of a local church, and your church is faithful to God, faithful in the preaching and application of Scripture, I encourage you to remain in that church. I encourage you to love your church. I encourage you to pray for and support your leaders. And the reason why I say that is because the local church is the primary context where we live out the one another's in Scripture. And all these one another's are necessarily reciprocal. They are ours, both to receive and enjoy, but also to reciprocate and extend. For example, when Scripture commands us to pray for one another, it demands not only that you pray for me, but that I also pray for you. And so, no, this church does not simply exist for you to encourage me, but for me to encourage you as well. And so by committing to a local church, we can fully live out Scripture's commands to love one another, welcome one another, care for one another, agree with one another, bear one another's burdens, teach one another, do good to one another, confess to one another, show hospitality to one another. Now, question, can you obey these commands if you just engage in online worship service every Sunday? Yes or no? No. For you to be able to obey these commands, you need to be part of the local church. You need to be present when they are gathered together. And know this, cherry-picking different ministries from different churches undermines the reciprocal nature of the one another's and makes them entirely one directional. I mean, think about it. How can I forgive or obey this command, forgive one another, where there isn't even a relationship or opportunity to forgive one another? How can I bear another's burdens when I don't even know them? How will we know how to pray for each other when there isn't a regular time to meet in a smaller setting and share our joys and burdens of life. And so if we are not gathering with God's people, we're not simply failing to obey God's command. We're also failing to stir others up to love and good works. Third, for our sanctification. Sanctification is a community project. Now, what is sanctification? It is that process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ in our attitudes, in our actions, in our words. Sanctification begins the moment you are justified, the moment you are saved by grace through faith. And we need the church. We need a local church for our sanctification. There are so many temptations out there. We need the local church. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us wage war on sin. We need assistance of our churchmates when we are down, when we are discouraged, when we are depressed. Immature saints need mature believers. Younger saints need older saints, and vice versa. And on it goes. I see this in the relationship of Paul and Timothy. As you all know, Timothy was a young pastor in Ephesus, and he was struggling in ministry. There were many false teachers who were trying to deceive his members. Some of them were questioning his credibility as a pastor. They were saying he's too young to be a pastor. He's not to be respected. And Timothy was very discouraged. And Paul knew about Timothy's trials. And so he writes this letter to Timothy. Being a timid man, Paul knew that it's possible for Timothy to just give up and be silent and not exercise his gift of teaching and leadership. Paul exhorted the young pastor to set a guard over his life and doctrine. Likewise, the church functions as a watchman on the walls of Christian lives. And so by participating in the body, you are submitting to the authority of your leaders and fellow church members, granting them access to your life and doctrine. You are saying to your church leaders and fellow members, in the day you see me flirting with unbiblical doctrines or slouching towards worldliness, I want you to come after me, to love me enough to expose my blind spots and lead me back to the truth. If you are not committed or part of a local church, you're vulnerable to all sorts of temptations. You're vulnerable to false teaching. Who's there to guide you and correct you when you are beginning to embrace false teachings? When you're beginning to live a worldly lifestyle? The blessing or the advantage of being part of a local church is that you have leaders, you have fellow church members who are there to help you guard your life and doctrine. Remember this, loving, redemptive church discipline, as outlined in Matthew 18, is a vital part of watchfulness. So should you stray, a faithful church body will love you enough to employ this means of grace as a way to point you back to Christ. So you need a voice and the guidance of the church to counteract all of the deception that is crammed into your mind all throughout the week. Fourth, to participate in God's mission. You always hear me say this. Here in Living Word IT Park, we are committed to follow Christ and, what's the next phrase? Fulfill the what? Fulfill the mission. We want to be a church that is on a mission. Our task as the gathered body of Christ is to make disciples by bearing witness to Jesus Christ the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. And you need to remember, the church is a sent people. Can you say a sent people? You don't sound convinced. Can you say a sent people? All right. Now, the sending focus of God's people is captured in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 20, after the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to his disciples in the flesh. Verse 19, in the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace to you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side, so the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And he says to them again in verse 21, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Here's something I want you to notice in that verse. Jesus is both the sent and the sender. Jesus was sent to accomplish a mission. And what is that mission? The mission of providing atonement for our sins. He knew he had to become man, to become man's substitute. Why? Because man is the one who sinned. He became man in order to fulfill the legal demand of the law. He lived a perfect life. And we know he gave his life as a sacrifice for sin and rose again on the third day to prove that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The only way to the Father. Now, as we've read these verses, we need to ask this question. Is Jesus' command to his disciples also applicable to us? Is this command simply given to his disciples alone? Or does it apply to every Christian, to every church in every generation? What's the right answer? Right answer, it also applies to us as well. We need to recognize that when Jesus speaks to his disciples here, at this moment, his command also applies to us. Last week, we had our evangelism week, and you were able to share the gospel to, you know, random people here in IT Park. In fact, I was able to share to two security guards here in our building in Skyrise 1. And they were very appreciative. They were very delighted and thankful that we took the time to share the gospel to them. So pray for Josie and Ed. Okay, I'm sure you see them here every time you attend our worship service. I was also able to share the gospel to a lady who was sitting outside Pan de Manila. And at first I thought, you know, she was busy. But when we approached her, she was delighted to actually converse with us. And so to make the long story short, I was able to share the gospel to her. And I asked her, "Does that make sense?" And she said yes. And she was just so thankful for you know, the time that we were able to spend with her in sharing the gospel to her. And she said, "You know, I'm about to go to work, and I'll be giving this report to my client in the United States, and I'm really feeling anxious right now." And so I thought at that time it would be a good idea to pray for her. And so I asked her, "Can we pray for you?" And again, she said, "Yes, of course." And so on that night, we were able to minister to her. And I also was told, you know, Brian, the one who works for Pastor Jojo, they approach a group of habal-habal drivers. And one habal-habal driver said, "Sir, pwede ko mangayos imong number? Kaya ako niya tong teksan ako mga kailang habal-habal drivers nga wala diri para amo silang tapukon kunya makashare ka namo." Isn't that amazing? I know we're going to experience rejections, persecutions, but there are people who are simply ready to hear the gospel, church. Perhaps during the pandemic, they realize they need God in their lives. They realize that life is short. Anytime you can die, tomorrow is not guaranteed. And church, remember this, God has placed us in this part of the city, IT Park, where thousands of people are working and living here, 24/7, God has placed us here to be salt and light. Amen? So let us seize the opportunity and participate in the mission of God. And the way you can effectively serve God and participate in God's mission is when you are part of a local church. The work is too great. Amen? The harvest is plentiful. You cannot do it alone. You need the help of your brothers and sisters. So God is sending the church as agents of God's kingdom in the world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, we, the church, we are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And lastly, our identity in Christ. The call to commit to the local church isn't just an arbitrary command. It flows from the message of the gospel and our new identity as recipients of grace. We are united to Christ by faith. Therefore, we are also united to every other believer who belongs to Jesus. And at this point, I want you to see how Scripture consistently uses two metaphors to describe the unity and connectedness of believers in the church. First, the church is referred as a body. Can you say a body? Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What is the word that is repeated several times in this passage? It's the word what? It's the word one. Yes, we may have different backgrounds. We come from different places, different personalities. But if you are in Christ, I want you to know that you are one with the body of Christ. You are one with the church. Second, Scripture calls the church a family. Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You see, these metaphors help us understand that God didn't redeem us so that we could merely have a personal relationship with Him as individuals. There's nothing wrong about having a personal relationship with Jesus. In fact, that's what we're called to have, right? We are to abide in the vine. We are to abide in Christ. We need to cultivate our relationship with Jesus. But I believe today, especially in the 21st century, many evangelical churches put so much emphasis on having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the effect of that is that Christians think that that's the only thing that matters, Jesus and me. And they begin neglecting or ignoring the local church. If you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that implies you are in a relationship with His children as well. Amen? With fellow believers. So when we say yes to this, when we say, okay, I'm going to commit to the local church, what does that look like? Well, committed members of the local church always have a keen sense of awareness. They know what is going on in the church. Why? Because they are part of the life of the church. They know the victories of the church, and they celebrate with the church, and they also know the low points, the struggles, the problems of the church. What's happening in the church is important to them. Why? Because they're committed, because they see the church as their family. And so this is a defining moment for us. This is a defining moment of taking ownership and becoming committed members in the church. And so if God is leading you to be part of our local church here in Living Word IT Park in the next weeks, we'll be going through our biblical core values. You will be introduced to us as a church, what we value here in Living Word IT Park. And if we share the same convictions, if you're not part of a local church yet, I pray that you would consider being part of this church family. So consider resolving to know God more fully in fellowship with His people so that they might strengthen your faith and so that you might encourage theirs. Now again, there's no perfect church. Every church is imperfect. Every church has issues, have issues and weaknesses. We might not ever find the perfect community this side of heaven, but our church families are essential for our walk with Jesus. Colin Hanson and Jonathan Lehman rightly said, "No one gets the church they want, but everyone gets the church they need." Perhaps some of us, we have, you know, our dream church, you know. But even if you get to be part of that dream church, you will soon realize that that church is still imperfect and is still growing and being sanctified. It's only when we get to be with God in heaven that we will experience perfect community. Why? Because in heaven, all of us would be made perfect. Amen? We will no longer sin. We will no longer struggle. We will no longer fight. And let me just remind you this. If you have a churchmate that has hurt you, and maybe you still have resentment and bitterness in your heart, if that churchmate of yours is a true believer, guess what? You will still see that person in heaven. Amen? So my point is this. Better start loving that person here on earth. Kay makita gyapon mo sa langit. Amen? Church, there's no perfect church family, but thankfully, we have a perfect Savior. And Jesus, you can give the Lord a clap of praise. We're an imperfect church ruled and saved by a perfect God. And Jesus Christ is the head of this church, our chief cornerstone. Let's pray. I want to give you this time to reflect on what you have just heard from the preaching of God's Word. Again, there are two types of people here, the participants and the spectators. I pray that the latter would make this commitment, this resolution, Lord, since you have appointed the church to be one of the means for me to be sanctified, for me to grow in Christ-likeness, for me to be protected from false teachings and worldliness, Father, give me the strength and the desire to commit to a local church, to be integrated in that church, that I may know people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and be known by them. So that by being known by them, I can be an encouragement to them and they can be an encouragement to me. I hope we all realize that we cannot survive on our own. No wonder God commands us to meet together regularly. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are unworthy sinners. You were once rebels, living in sin, hating you. We thank you because of your abundant, amazing grace. You made a way for sinners like us to be made saints, declared righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus. For us who have been saved positionally, you see us as perfect.
because you see the righteousness of your Son. But in practice, we are imperfect, Lord. For we still struggle with sin. We still get tempted. We still have weaknesses, Lord. It's only when we get to be with you in heaven that we will be made perfect in every way. But until that time comes, Lord, I pray that you would, by your grace, give us the commitment to be part of a local church. So that when we struggle with sin, we can have brothers and sisters in the Lord who can pray for us. If we are being swayed by the world and the temptations of the world, oh God, are drawing us away from you, we thank you. That if we are part of the local church, we have brothers and sisters who will lovingly rebuke us and lead us back to the truth. So help us, Father, cultivate gospel-centered friendships within our church, that we may be sanctified, that we may be protected from false teachings and worldliness and temptations, that we may be able to participate in your mission, O Father God, together as a body. We can serve you and glorify you with one voice, declaring the good news, the gospel. And through our commitment to the local church, oh God, I thank you. Through it, we would be able to persevere and endure to the very end. So we thank you, oh God, for the gift of the local church. I pray, Lord God, for those who have been attending, but they still do not have a local church, oh God. I pray that if you are leading them to our church, oh God, that you would give them that commitment to love this church, to support this church despite its imperfections. Thank you, Father. We praise you and we thank you, and whatever has been achieved and accomplished, we give you back all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.